This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Washington Capitals hockey. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Enjoy your freedom of speech. Download the show completely free on iTunes or Stitcher. Join me as always via Skype. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
There's not much going on over here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We got a little bit of Caps news to talk about. Let's start it off with the biggest cap news of the week, really. Matt Hendricks, Carl Alsner, they went fishing on this offseason. What did they catch?
I have no idea. fish, I guess. That's pretty much all the Caps news, because it's been pretty quiet right now. I actually put a tweet out earlier asking the Caps to do something, anything, before tonight's show, because there's not really much to talk about. The only news really that's gone out, it looks like in the past week of interest in regards to just the Washington Capitals, is that they recently extended offers to four of the 2012 draftees in forward Chandler Stephenson and defenseman Connor Carrick, Jaden Risling, and Christian Juice. This means the Caps hang on to their rights through next season. But all of these players will have to be signed to entry-level deals by June 1st, 2014, if the Caps wish to hang on to them after the upcoming season. Stephenson was selected in the third round, Carrick in the fifth, and Risling and Juice in the seventh rounds. Of their 2012 draftees, Philip Forsberg was traded to Nashville for Martin Ehret. Tom Wilson and Sergei Kostenko were signed to entry-level deals, although Kostenko has since gone back to the KHL, even though the Caps still control his rights. And three other players are currently playing in college in Thomas DePauli, Austin Wuthrich, and Riley Barber, who was, I believe, was he a sixth-round pick who's actually making some noise. He could be a guy you see going forward. That's pretty much all of the Caps news for the past week. It's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, it definitely has been quiet. This is that time of year where I guess the front office is kind of retooling, rethinking what they're going to do, making those big plans coming up for the draft as well as the trade deadline free agent market as well. So a lot of the players just kind of hanging out. RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, always a good place to go to get some of those quirky stories of these guys and what they're doing in the offseason. I know Ovechkin's hanging out with his fiance. They're hanging out. She's playing tennis, of course. She's a pro for Russia. But yeah.
Apparently Ovechkin's not a very good tennis referee. Yep. He tweeted out earlier. Or one of them here is his woman tweeted it out. I don't know which one.
His woman? You're just calling him his woman?
His female companion had tweeted out that he's not a very good referee. I still see on that thing, though, he's still got that boot on his foot. So, I guess he's still resting that. Hopefully he's not jumping down from that thing.
It seems like he is taking this injury seriously, and he's doing everything he can to start his off-season workout, I guess, and get back to full health. Hopefully he'll be fine. But, yeah, it definitely looks like he's taking it seriously right now.
Well, it sort of would make some sense as to why his play, I wouldn't say it dropped off necessarily, but maybe he didn't have that jump or that extra push or step that he could have to get by a player to potentially score a goal. But then again, I'm not going to go and blame him for the reason that the Caps failed in the first round, because he's not the only reason that they had trouble. There was plenty of guys that you could put the blame on. Nick Backstrom, Marcus Johansson, there's other guys you could definitely look at as to reasons why they didn't do well and why there was problems. But it's nice to see he's redoing his rehab going forward. He's doing well, and hopefully, and I think it's definitely, unless something else happens, that he'll be ready to go in training camp in September.
Yeah, September. It's really not that far away, but we still got plenty of time to spend off the ice. All right, well, we talked about this a little bit last week. We can jump over and talk about this now. There's a lot of moves the Capitals are going to have to make in this offseason. And, we do have some buyouts that the Capitals have to decide what to do. And there's going to be the draft and the free agent market. But what do you see as the biggest move, in your opinion, that the Capitals are going to make this year? Is it going to be a buyout, or is it going to be letting one or two players go in the free agent market?
Well, I don't think any of their buyouts are going to be all that big of a deal. I mean, I think the first one's pretty obvious for the compliance buyouts. It's going to be Jeff Schultz. I think we mentioned that last week. I don't see any reason why he would be sticking around. His cap hit comes out to $2.75 million, and I don't see why you hang on to him if the guy is not even going to see the ice, it looks like, at all, unless there's like a bunch of huge injuries in Adam Oates' system. And even if there are a bunch of injuries, they have plenty of guys that are younger and cheaper that can play over Schultz. My guess is that he will be a free agent at some point in the near future. Another guy, I said this last week, that Joel Ward is a likely person to get a compliance buyout, but it seems like Adam Oates likes him. I think the team likes him. They like what he brings to the table. And I like him. I don't want to say that I don't like Joel Ward. My problem is that I think his cap hit is too high. And even though you may like him and what he brings to this team, I think you can go out and find someone for cheaper that can do the same things. Maybe he won't be quite as offensive, but because he's cheaper, you can save that cap space to spend on potentially another player that maybe is a little cheaper than Joel Ward and may not do as much physically, but he can do more offensively for this team. My suggestion would be to buy out Joel Ward, save yourselves a $3 million cap hit for a guy who's going to be playing on your third or even fourth line next season, and try and spend that money somewhere else. But I was talking with some other people on Twitter earlier today and in days past about what the Caps could do and things like that with the buyouts and trades. I don't understand why they signed Michael Norvirth to that new deal where he's making $2.5 million a year for the next two seasons. I think he's a definite possibility to be traded. I don't think they're going to buy him out. I don't think anyone that they signed to a new deal like John Erskine or Norvirth, or Troy Brower or any of these guys are going to be bought out. I do think that anybody on the team, even if they signed a new deal recently, could still be traded. My guess is that Neuwirth is going to get traded in the offseason, potentially at the draft, and maybe you move him out for a player or picks. Maybe you can find a team willing to give up on a second-line center for him. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case, but that's always a possibility. And that you could replace Mike Ribeiro in that way. Maybe bring in a guy who's a little cheaper, and you don't necessarily have to argue with him and fight against other teams in terms of dealing with cap hits. There's also a possibility you could see Jason Chimera get moved out and replaced by Tom Wilson or even Michael Latta from the minors. And these guys who look like they're doing pretty well. We liked what we saw from Wilson when he played up with the Caps during the playoffs. He could potentially jump into that fourth or even third line role that Chimera has. Or if you want to bring in a second line center and you're not willing to get rid of, like we talked about last week, Troy Brower, or Erath, you could potentially get rid of Chimera and bump Brooks Like down to that third line spot. Yes, Like costs more, but Chimera might be easier to get rid of, frees up a little bit more cap space, and you can bring in one of the young guys to play on the fourth line.
I think with Chimera, they're going to give him a little bit more time. I think he had a really rough time during the shortened season. He barely got on the scoreboard, but he seems to be a guy that you like to keep around. He's got a lot of grit and a lot of heart. And I think what Oates and McPhee are going to do is keep him around until the trade deadline in the middle of the season happens. And if he doesn't really work out the first half of this season, then I think they'll see him go. I think it's a little too early for these guys to say goodbye to Jason Chimera, even though he's a little bit older. But I think if he doesn't improve his game in the first half of the upcoming season, then I think he's pretty much gone.
See, the only problem with that is that you then run into the possibility that you diminish his trade value. That's already dropped. His trade value last offseason was probably the highest it will ever be during his career. Because he was, 20 goals, he looked phenomenal, and somebody may have taken a chance on him, and you would be able to move him out. Now, his cap hit's not that high. It's only, 1.75 million, so it's not that big of a deal. I think if you hold on to him for longer and he continues to, while he can perform defensively, he's still not putting points up on the board, I think his trade value drops, and at that point you trade him and just get whatever you can, whether it's like a 7th or 6th round pick, just to free up that little bit of cap space.
Yeah, a lot of stuff for these guys to think about. I really don't know what they're going to do, but I think we all agree that Schultz is pretty much gone. But we'll see what happens here. I really do think Tom Wilson is another guy who has a bright future here with the Capitals. I think Oates likes him a lot. I think McPhee likes him a lot. So I think one of those moves that you're going to see either around the draft or during free agency is we're going to see space to be made for Tom Wilson to come in and play with the Capitals. We talked about it last week, whether or not it'll be the best thing for him to come up at this level this early, but I think they're really high on him right now, and I think they're going to make space for him as much as possible. Matt Hendricks is a guy that he's a big fan favorite in D.C., and how can you not love a guy like that? He's a lot of fun on the ice. He's great during the shootout, and Matt Hendricks is a guy you can always count on there. But from what I understand, he's going to be a free agent coming up in this offseason, and the New York Rangers, it keeps being reported. Again, these are only rumors, but it keeps being reported that they have their sights set on Matt Hendricks being in a Rangers uniform next year. Now let's see if they can afford him and see if DC can match his salary cap or whatever, but it seems like the Rangers are really going to be going after him this offseason. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen with Hendy.
Well, it'll be an interesting thing. In regards to potential interest from the New York Rangers, with the news that came out today that we'll talk about later, no one really knows what's going to happen potentially in New York, so that could always change. In regard to Hendricks, I think he may just be a point where he may be sort of phased out of the team by some of the younger guys that may be coming up. I think part of it will depend on how much he wants. If he wants too much money, they're going to go another direction. But my question would be, would you go with Hendricks or would you go with Tom Wilson if it came down to those two guys? Or better yet, let me rephrase. Would you rather go with Hendricks, Wilson, or Aaron Volpatti? Because you still have Volpatti around, and he costs maybe half as much as Hendricks does. And while we all love Hendricks and his shootout maneuvers, which always does look really cool, are we willing to hang on to him for potentially $1 million, a little more? Or would you rather hang on to a guy like a Joel Ward and play Aaron Volpatti or Tom Wilson over Hendricks and let Hendricks go and play somewhere else? That's sort of the questions they're going to have to deal with. And these are, unfortunately, as much as the fans may like players, you do have to move on from guys in the salary cap world because you can't afford to keep everybody that you want.
Yeah, and this is kind of rude to say, but there's a lot of mediocrity right there. There's a lot of guys who are those good third, fourth liner guys, and they all have their own price tag. I mean, all the guys that we've mentioned so far, they're not going to carry the entire team on their backs. They're going to do what they have to do, and they'll fight, and they'll do whatever they have to do for their captain. They're good guys to have on the line, but at the same time, these guys are not the ones that are going to I don't want to say elevate, because that's not true. They are elevating the team, but they're not the ones that you can expect to see day in and day out, putting up all of the points on the scoreboard.
Well, I completely agree. I think the fourth line guys should be guys who don't make a ton of money in terms of sports. I mean, in terms of reality, they make a ton of money. But in regards to sports, their cap hit should not be very high. These should be, some of them are young guys, gritty guys. They're not going to put a ton of points up on the board, but you want to see them as an energy guys out there hitting bodies and at least throwing the puck on net and making life difficult for the other team. I think this is a perfect opportunity potentially to play. You put Beagle in the middle, and you could have Volpatti on the left and either Joel Ward or Tom Wilson playing on the right just to start the season. If you decide to move out Ward, then that potentially gives a spot opportunity for Chimera to stay, maybe even Matt Hendricks, or you let both of those guys go and bring up some younger guys or some free agents. As much as it may pain me to say it to some extent, or as much as fans may not want to hear it, I do think that this team will survive without a guy like a Matt Hendricks. Yes, he brings a lot of great qualities to the team in regards to his behavior and how he handles himself in the locker room, but I think at some point the money has to equal the numbers, and if the money doesn't equal the numbers, then there's going to be a problem. And at some point, you're going to move these guys out, replace them with younger guys who may potentially become the same sort of locker room guy that you have in a Matt Hendricks or a Jason Chimera or a Joel Ward. But if it's too much money in the salary cap world, sometimes you have to make rough decisions.
Yeah, it's a lot of rough decisions. I'm glad that I'm not the GM that has to do that. But that's what you have to do. You have to. We all have to remember that the final goal, and I think every hockey fan and hockey player knows, is every single goal for every one of these players is to hoist the Stanley Cup. And it's the GM's job to figure out what is the best combination for the coach, for the stars, for the whole team, and they need to have the best team out there to win the cup. So whether we like him or not, like you said, that's the final goal. This is a business, and that's what you want to do. You want to win the cup. So. Unfortunately, we might see a guy like Matt Hendricks leave. As much as I like him, he may go to the Rangers. He still might be wearing red, white, and blue like he does with the Capitals. He'll just be a little bit further north. So That would be interesting.
I will still proudly wear my Hendrix cap shirt. It's sort of like Hendrix is like the new Bradley. He's one of those guys where you hate to see him go, but you understand why. You can sort of let him move on. If you have a jersey or a t-shirt, you can still wear it to Verizon Center or to Kettler or wherever else, and it's not quite as awkward as wearing, say, I don't know, an Alexander Semin jersey or t-shirt, huh, Sarah? Something like that. You never know.
I always thought it was really weird. I saw at the developmental camp last year somebody wearing a Joe Corvo Capitals t-shirt, which
– who the hell bought a Corvo thing even when he was here? Like, that's your own stupidity. It's one thing if you go out and you buy a Semin jersey or a t-shirt because you got to think that he's probably going to be around a while. But a trade deadline acquisition for a guy who's going to be a free agent, like, if you're going to be like, oh, why'd they get rid of him? Because you're dumb. Like, why buy that to begin with? That was a poor decision.
Why would exactly
wait and see if he's gonna come back, you know, or get the t-shirt?
Why would they even make that t-shirt? That's what I want to know. Same reason why they made those Arnott t-shirts back in the day. It doesn't make sense. But anyway,
yeah. I think a friend of mine actually has an Arnott t-shirt.
Really?
Or someone, I think, I don't know. No, he has a Fedorov. That's not as bad though because he's stuck around. But I think someone I know, or I've seen it somewhere, an Arnott one. But that's not as bad because at least Arnott came in and did something. It's not like Corvo who came in and you're like, this is a stupid trade. Why would you use? Like, I would have much rather hang on to Brian Pothier at that point than to bring in Corvo, because I don't think Corvo brought that much more to the team than Pothier did. It didn't make a lot of sense to me in the end. So, but either way, you know, that's I don't know what the hell that guy was thinking. Teams have done it in the past. We're like, oh, we acquired this guy at the deadline, buy his jersey, and you're like, yeah, Michelle, $200 for a rental. That makes sense.
Right, exactly. Is that pretty much it for Caps news?
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet right now. I think it's going to be kind of quiet going forward unless someone comes out and says, I'm not coming back, or if they finally decide to sign one of their guys. It looks like you can't use any of the compliance buyouts until 48 hours after the final game of the season, which will be the final game of the Stanley Cup Finals, and that the compliance buyout window closes before free agency, which begins on July 5th. So I don't think things are going to be very the opposite of quiet would be loud in Caps world for a little while, unless you see a couple of restricted free agents suddenly decide to resign soon. But my guess is these things are going to get dragged out a little, you know, more during the summer until we get a little closer to that time where these things get a lot more interesting. My concern, though, right now is that someone does like what the Phillies did, the Flyers, you know, the hockey team, did last year with Shea Weber in Nashville, and that they, or someone goes out and offers a contract to Carl Alsner and signs him to a restricted offer sheet, and then the Caps have to make a real serious decision as to whether they're going to match what's likely to be a very big and ridiculous offer, or if they try and catch or let him go, or even do something like a sign and trade, if that's even possible in the new NHL. I haven't checked that out yet, where they potentially have to move on from Carl Alsner.
Yeah, I don't even want
to. I don't think it's going to happen. I think in the end he's going to be back in D.C. I'm really curious to see what his numbers are. Obviously, he's my biggest concern. I know everybody's talking about Mike Ribeiro and if they're going to bring him back. I don't care about that as much as I care about what's going to happen with Carl Alsner, because in my mind, he's their number one defenseman. I think he's the best defenseman on this team. He's the biggest concern I have with the offseason. I think that's more important than the second-line center spot.
It's a good thought. I remember, I think it was Carl Alsner just a few years ago when he had a contract up, and he tested the free market, and he really didn't get any bites, so he kind of just stayed with the Capitals and what they were offering in the first place. So I don't know. I think Carl Alsner is a great talent. I don't know if he's really shown a lot of people in that span of, I think it was 2 years since his last contract, that money would be raising up a little bit more than where he's at right now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think he's a great talent, and if the Capitals can hang on to him, of course we would be very happy if he stayed. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think that's pretty much it for Caps news, right?
Yeah, I think the one thing is with defensive defensemen, the less you hear about them, the better. Like guys like Mike Green and John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov, and Jack Hillen, like you want to hear their name. Or guys like Erskine and Alexi, you hear their name because they've just like leveled the crap out of somebody. But with a guy like Carl Alsner, who's sort of a stay-at-home defenseman, he sits back, he uses his body, but he's not going to go out and lay somebody out. He's better positionally. The less you hear about him, the better, and that's what makes him good. The only time to hear about Alsner is when he's screwed up, and you don't hear his name very often, which is why I think he's the most important guy they have on this team. At least defensively.
I hope GM Jim's thinking the same way you are. We'll see what this guy
does. Who knows?
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's pretty much it for the Caps. We got plenty to talk about, talking about the Reading Royals. So let's go up 83. Let's still talk some puck. Let's talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. Now, the Hershey Bears, they're staying pretty quiet this past week, but the Reading Royals, they're making enough noise for both towns, really. Big news for the Reading Royals, they are the Kelly Cup champions, so we gotta say,
yeah,
congratulations to the Reading Royals.
I thought that was pretty cool. I was following along on Twitter. I was like, okay, this game was game five, is pretty exciting. Oh, they're up 1-0. Okay, pretty cool. Oh, they're up 2-0. They won 6-0. In the decisive Game 5 to win the series and bring their first ever championship back to Reading, which they won 5 games over the Stockton Thunder, the minor league, the ECHL affiliate of the Edmonton Oilers. I believe the parade was today in Reading to celebrate their championship, so that was pretty good. Congrats to them.
Absolutely, and this is great for those guys. This is their first Kelly Cup. But one guy that we did talk about, I don't know if we're saying his name correctly, but Stan Galiev, not really sure how we say his name.
I think it's, is it Galiev?
I think it's Galiev.
We need him on the show to ask. We'll go to the rookie camp and find him just so we can ask him. How do you pronounce your last name?
But he won the Kelly Cup this year with the Reading Royals. He started out in Hershey, got sent down to Reading, and really has shown what kind of skill he has. But RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, they had a great story about him, about how this is his third championship in a row, that he played for a couple other teams before coming up to Hershey and then going to Reading. But this is his third championship in a row, so that's really great for him. And you gotta give congratulations to the Reading Royals. I mean, really a great showing. We've been talking about them. I got to see them, during the NHL lockout, so I got to see some actual hockey from these guys. And it seems like it's a really great organization up there. I mean, they really steamrolled through the rest of the ECHL, and they really I'm really glad that they're a part of the Capitals organization. They seem to be a great affiliate, and with them being so close to Hershey, it just makes sense that they would be the affiliate for Hershey and for the Capitals. So congrats to the Reading Royals. Enjoy the Kelly Cup championship. You guys really have fought hard this year, and I know that you're bringing some hockey pride to Reading.
No, yeah, I think it's pretty awesome for them. I know that a lot of fans up there were really excited. I saw on Twitter everybody was going kind of nuts up in Reading. They were very excited about things going forward. I know that our buddies Weebly Purple, they were very excited, although he always seems excited because he's always got the caps lock on. But yeah, I mean, they were all going – sorry, I had to do it. They were all going crazy, and they were very excited. I think it's very cool, and I hope that maybe we just need to bring Galiev down and play for the Caps, because that dude seems to have – the lucky number, because he's always winning, apparently. The guy just wins championships.
Yeah, let's get him here. I think he needs to win a Stanley Cup for us.
He doesn't have to play. Put him on the ice a couple seconds every game. It's fine. Maybe all the Caps in the end.
So congrats to them. Nothing going on with Hershey, correct? I mean, they're staying pretty quiet, just like the Capitals.
I think Hershey Park might be opening soon. But no, that doesn't appear so. Sorry. No, I mean, it's pretty quiet right now. It's the off season for them. We'll see what happens going forward. I think things will be pretty quiet with the Caps potentially moving more players around during the summer to see where guys are going to be re-signing some of their free agents and restricted free agents that will be playing there, like Danik Paquette, Thomas Kondratik, Matthias Sjogren, who are restricted guys. Danny Saverin's a name I expect to see re-sign and sent back to Hershey. Potentially Joey Crabbe, although I doubt it. I think he'll look for an NHL offer somewhere. But yeah, we'll see going forward what happens. But I think right now things will be pretty quiet in Hershey for at least the near future.
All right. Well, there's still plenty going on up in the NHL with the Stanley Cup playoffs. So let's go around the NHL. All right. Well, we're close, man. We're close to the conference finals. The East is all set up right now. As we're talking, Game 7 between the Blackhawks and the Red Wings is going on. So just tell me what's going on with the Stanley Cup playoffs right now.
Right now, it looks like the end, pretty close to the end of the second. Chicago's up 1-0 on Detroit in their Game 7. So if that score stays the same way, which is highly unlikely, let's be honest, then Chicago will move on to the next round, knocking Detroit out. But Pittsburgh eliminated Ottawa in 5 games, as did Boston when they eliminated the New York Rangers in 5 games. So they'll be facing off against one another in the Eastern Conference Finals, which starts Saturday, June 1st at 8 p.m. on NBC. And then L.A. beat San Jose in 7 games last night. So L.A. is there awaiting the winner of the Chicago-Detroit series. I'm not entirely sure when that series will start. Between the two, my guess would be I believe I read that there's possibility of a doubleheader Saturday. I can't remember if which team wins, though, but I think it may have been if Chicago wins, we could see a doubleheader Saturday. Or if the other team, Detroit, wins, we may see that first game on Sunday.
No matter who wins between the Blackhawks and the Red Wings, these two series are just going to be great hockey. They're going to be so much fun to watch. These teams really have been great in the playoffs so far. The Penguins and the Bruins, though, that's going to be a fast-paced game. I really want to see like the quickness of Malkin and Crosby against, you know, the big guys of Boston. I want to see what the Penguins do with Jagr as well, see how they treat him now that he's in a Bruins jersey. But even if you're a Caps fan, I think you're going to be able to enjoy the next two series, because really, if you've paid attention since the Capitals left, the hockey has just been absolutely amazing on the ice. So these teams definitely deserve to be where they're at, and I'm excited to see how these finals play out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely some interesting storylines going into the next one. Okay, Ginla's playing. That's kind of cool playing for the Penguins. You have the whole Jagr's only playing for Boston because Ginla decided not to go to Boston and instead went to Pittsburgh. I think there's a nice little storyline there. Yeah, Crosby and Malkin against Chara, Seidenberg, whole thing, everything that's going on there, Rask, and whoever's going to be playing in goal for the Penguins right now, it looks like Tomas Vokoun. So I think that's going to be interesting. And since we don't talk again until the next round has started, we want to do a little predictions?
I think we should, yeah, I think we should.
I think we should do some predictions. All right. Even though I hate to – my guess is I'm going to be wrong with this one, but I'm going to take the Boston Bruins over the Penguins. I think that Vokoun's going to start to drop. I don't think the Penguins have faced a team quite as good as the Bruins in the playoffs. They took on an Islanders team, which is an up-and-coming team, but I don't think they were nearly as good as the Bruins are. And I don't think the Senators were as good as everybody thought they should be. I think Montreal just crapped the bed there and didn't play as well as they should have. And Ottawa ended up floundering in that series. My guess, or my hope, I should say, since I do not like the Penguins, is that Boston ends up defeating the Penguins. I'm going to go that this one's going to take 7 games.
I absolutely think it's going to go to 7. There is no doubt in my mind, and this is probably going to be wrong now, but there is no doubt in my mind that this will go to a 7-game series. These guys, they are going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Home ice, I think, is going to be a huge factor on this series. But goaltending, I think, is going to be another one as well. You've got Tuukka Rask, who has looked really good between the pipes. He's doing great. But Vokoun, we've seen firsthand the way Vokoun plays, and even though he is a great goaltender, he's not somebody who can be consistent. If the night gets the best of him, there's a lot of noise. If you get up early on him and get him to make a mistake early on, it'll affect him the rest of the night. So I don't put all of my trust into Vokoun that he will be able to lead the Penguins to a win past the Bruins. I think the Bruins are too good, and I think Chara's gonna crowd him. That's what I said last time with the Rangers, is you got to get in Lundqvist's face. You can't give him room. You can't let him have rebounds that he can just kind of bounce off. Vokoun is a guy who you put pressure on him, he is going to crumble. He's a great goaltender when he has to be, but he's not consistent, and I think the Bruins are really going to pick on him for that. So I think the Bruins are going to win, but I definitely think it's going to go to 7. I don't think either of these teams have any kind of quit in them, so they are going to play their hardest all the way through.
I think that was well put. I think the next one's going to be a little harder to do because we don't know who necessarily the opponents are going to be. We do know that Los Angeles is going to be playing, but we have no idea who they're going to be taking on just yet, whether it's going to be Detroit or Chicago. My guess, if Chicago beats Detroit tonight and plays LA, I think Chicago wins that series in that's going to be a tough one. I think it's going to go either 6 or 7. However, if Detroit beats Chicago tonight, then I'm going to take LA in 6.
See, I think no matter who wins tonight for me, I think I'm going to have to go with the LA Kings. I think one word to describe why I think the Kings are going to win this series. Quick.
I think I know what you're going to say. Yeah, there you go.
Quick. Absolutely. This guy has been playing amazing hockey. He's their savior in LA. Jonathan Quick is the best goaltender of the playoffs so far. I want to say maybe even the best player of the playoffs so far. He's been absolutely amazing for the Kings. He's saved their necks a couple times. He did the same thing last year, though. He's always been a talk with the LA Kings. Jonathan Quick is going to be the savior, I think, of this series. He's going to be a great talent. And I wanted to – I actually kind of thought about tweeting this out last night at the end of the LA Kings game. But I think with this series, Jonathan Quick may be, you know, signing his deal where he's going to be able to be the starting goaltender for Team USA in the Olympics, because he's been playing some great.
I don't think there's any question anymore.
You really – you think he's going to be the starter?
I think with the way he's been playing – I mean, Ryan Mayle had a really bad season, so it's sort of tough to say. I think it's going to be interesting to see how both these guys do next season. But with the way Quick is playing and the way he sort of rises to the occasion, I don't see why he wouldn't be the starting goaltender going into – at least going into the Olympics next year. We'll have to see how both these guys are doing. I think anything can happen. But with the way he's been playing and, like I said, the way he rises to the occasion, I do think that that he has the best chance right now, at least to be going in as the number one. I agree with you there completely.
Yeah, so for me, pretty much, I think it's going to end up being Bruins versus Kings. Now, I don't think I've – I may have said this before on the podcast. I may have said it earlier, and I just don't remember it tonight. But when the Capitals lose and the Capitals aren't doing well and they're out of the playoffs, Boston is the team that I root for. I love Boston. If I'm not rooting for the Orioles in Baltimore, I'm rooting for the Red Sox. If I'm not rooting for the Ravens, I'm rooting for the Patriots. So the same thing applies here. If I'm not rooting for the Capitals, I'm rooting for the Bruins. So I really do think Boston's going to go and lead the East. I think they're going to win the East, and it's going to come down for me, Boston, Los Angeles, for the finals.
See, I can't root for the Bruins, but only because I hate the play-by-play guy. He's just such a douche. I can't do it. I can't stand that guy. The guy is just such a dickhead. And he's just such a jerk. So he drives me nuts. So my hope is that someone comes out of the West and is able to win the Stanley Cup. But the reason I would take Chicago over LA, and the only reason I say this is because I think when Chicago went down in their series against the Red Wings, they were down something like three games to one or something like that, and they've come flying back. I think that sort of woke them up. After they had their ridiculous regular season, they were sort of – it looks like maybe they're in sort of coast mode. I think maybe they got woken up, and now they're playing a lot better, and I think that that sort of got them going. But if anybody's going to stop Chicago right now, I think it's definitely going to be Jonathan Quick.
Yeah, Jonathan Quick, he's going to be somebody really you gotta worry about if you're Chicago, or if you're Detroit, or if you're Pittsburgh, or if you're Boston. You got to worry about Jonathan Quick, and you got to figure out how to shut that guy down. But he's going to be the star of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But besides those teams left, there's still a lot going on in the NHL, and something we got to talk about because it's going to be a big factor for the Capitals next season, because they're going to be in the same division. But the New York Rangers, man, they fired Coach Tortorella, which honestly, I'm kind of shocked it happened.
I gotta say, I am happy it happened because I want him out of the Caps division. Because as much of a jerk as he appears to be, he, I think, is a very good hockey coach. To some extent, he wears out his welcome with his players. The guys won a Stanley Cup. He knows how to win. He did well in New York for the most part, with the exception of the playoffs, unfortunately. But yeah, the New York Rangers fired him today. He leaves New York after 4-plus seasons with a record of 171, 118, 1-29. So in the regular season, he has a very good record. Unfortunately, in the playoffs, he was 19-25. I don't know. I mean, the Rangers had some injury troubles, but I think they should have played better. I don't think they are as good a team as Tortorella made them out to be. But I know someone put it out on Twitter today. It might have been our buddy Adam Vingan that said that if the Rangers are able to go out and find a coach that can get this team to wake up offensively, that they are going to be a very dangerous team. Because I don't think Tortorella's somewhat defensive style necessarily worked with the players that they had going forward. They have a lot of offensive guys. Here's another point I want to bring up that I brought up on Twitter earlier today. How many head coaches has Rick Nash had? Because as soon as a coach leaves Washington, the freaking NHL media guys like Mike Milbury come out and just trash Ovechkin and any other Russians or foreign players on the Washington Capitals. However, Rick Nash has had something like, I don't know, 19 head coaches during his NHL career. Part of that was because he was in Columbus, but still, and no one says a damn thing. So, I just found that a little interesting. Anyways, I also have a fun little known fact about John Tortorella. He actually coached the Rangers before. He was the head coach of the New York Rangers for four games at the end of the 1999-2000 season as the interim head coach. Little fun fact I found out today. Before he went on Tampa Bay and then won a Stanley Cup with them. In other NHL news...
Hold on one second. Before you go on, Do you see Tortorella going somewhere else? I saw on Twitter earlier today, Adam Vingan, our buddy, he actually said he kind of sees Tortorella possibly going to a place like Vancouver to coach again. Do you see him going anywhere else?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be unemployed for very long. I do see him signing somewhere else. I also thought put out on Twitter that I thought that he was going to be end up playing. He could be coaching Vancouver or Dallas or somebody else going forward. I think Vancouver's in for a bunch of big changes, so it'd be interesting to see if he would end up there. I think that they're looking to make a splash if they end up making a bunch of big deals, like potential buyouts or trades of big-name players. So bringing in someone like Tortorella I think would go over well in terms of keeping the fans happy, because you're bringing in a coach that is a winning coach. He has won a Stanley Cup before, like I said before. He does have a good regular season record. I don't think this Rangers team was as good defensively as other people thought. And they had some good defenders, but they didn't have enough of them. And I mean, I think it was put out there that the series winning goal for the Boston Bruins was scored when Steve Eminger and Roman Hamrlick were on the ice, two former Capitals, which I thought was pretty entertaining. But you have two of those guys playing in a very important game. I mean, if you don't have the top defensive players, you're not going to be able to win. I don't think the Rangers had good enough defensive players when Tortorella was there. I don't think they ever did. And I think that's sort of what cost him his job in the end. So I think it'll be interesting. I do think he's going to go somewhere else. I expect him to be behind the coach's bench of an NHL franchise in October.
Yeah, I see him going somewhere. I'm not really sure. I think Vancouver might be a good spot for him, but he is a pretty good coach. I mean, he may not have a Stanley Cup from New York, but he always seemed like he knew what he was doing there, and he always had something to tell the media, and it kind of seemed like he fit in with New York. But I think just towards the end, he just kind of lost his team. It was kind of the same thing that happened with Bruce Boudreau and the Capitals. It was just kind of he couldn't coach these guys anymore. So fresh start would probably be good for the team and for him. So let's see where he lands.
Yeah, I mean, if Adam Oates wasn't the coach of the Washington Capitals, and if the Caps were looking for a head coach, I would love to have John Tortorella in here, because the guy knows how to win and he doesn't take any stuff from any of his players. He'd certainly be fun to watch at a press conference. I can tell you that much, because that dude is crazy when it comes to the press conferences. But I would like to bring him in, because he's a coach that knows how to win, provided that his teams are he has quality teams and he has quality defensive players. I think he could have done a lot of good with the Caps, but I like what Oates is doing. I think Oates is the best coach for this team right now, and I'm excited for them for next season.
All right, what else we got going on?
So other news going around the NHL. Colorado has officially hired Patrick Waugh as their head coach for next season. I saw that he actually came out and said that the Avalanche were interested in potentially trading their first pick in the NHL draft. Yeah, right. Unless they have some crazy, just some ridiculous offer, I don't see that they'll be trading that pick to be able to pick up Seth Jones in June. Other news we have, the NHL is actually meeting with possible buyers for the Phoenix Coyotes. Yes, the NHL still owns the Phoenix Coyotes. That saga is never going to end. The possible new owners reportedly are intending on keeping the team in Phoenix. I don't understand why this is still going on. When the first guy said, well, I'll pay you a lot of money to take the Coyotes off your hands, but I'm willing to move them, let them do it. I don't see why the NHL is so intent on keeping the Coyotes in Phoenix. If anything, it's just so Bettman can say, look, my idea of putting hockey teams in non-hockey market worked. No, it didn't work, you dummy. It's not going to work. Move the team. This is just continuing in a cycle of stupidity. Speaking of Phoenix, they signed general manager Don Mulloney to a long-term extension, which is good for him. I think he's done pretty well. The Coyotes made the playoffs three straight years before ending up a couple of points out of the playoffs this year. I believe they ended 10th in the West. In interesting award news, the NHL announced that they will have two live televised specials during the Cup Finals. So instead of going out to Vegas and having this big award ceremony, which, let's be honest, was kind of silly to begin with, the day before Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals, they will present the winners of the Masterton, the Selke, the King Clancy, and the Lady Byng trophies, as well as Jack Adams and Mark Messier NHL Leadership Awards. They will also announce the NHL Foundation Player Award and the NHL General Manager of the Year Awards. And then the next night at 7 p.m. on the day of Game 2, they will present the Hart, Calder, Norris, and Vezina trophies, as well as the Ted Lindsay Award. I don't know how you feel about this. I just think it's kind of silly the way they're going about this and trying to make the biggest deal out of a bunch of awards. Who cares? I don't know why. It's like, is it to get ratings? Because it's not going to work. So who cares? Just give out the awards and move on. Let's see. And then in we talked about the compliance buyouts and how teams will be allowed to start buying out players 48 hours after the final game of the season and how it closes before free agency begins on July 5th. I was looking at a couple of different teams on capgeek.com, which actually is a great website for salary cap information and news regarding the different teams. It's what I use when I try and drive myself crazy trying to figure out how the Caps are going to put together a full roster next season. I think there's a couple of guys that are going to be out there. I think there's going to be a bunch of surprises that people aren't going to think about, but I think a couple of the obvious names we could see out as free agents before July 5th that are currently under contract. I think Philly is going to buy out Danny Briere and Ilya Bryzgalov. I think Bryzgalov is a pretty obvious one, and Briere because he can't stay healthy. I think the New York Rangers – see, I was going to say Brad Richards because he's got a huge contract and he had a terrible year. But I think with Tortorella gone, whoever that new coach that comes in, he may want to actually hang on to him. But I do think Brad Richards is still a possibility to be bought out. We'll see where he goes next season. I think the New York Islanders are going to buy out Rick DiPietro. I think that one's going to be pretty obvious because that guy is made out of glass and not even well-made glass. That guy is made out of broken pieces of glass. You breathe on him heavily and he breaks something. That dude is going to get bought out. Buffalo could be buying out Ville Leino. I think that's definitely a possibility as they try to transition towards a new team under their new head coach, Ron Rolston. I think Vancouver is going to buy out Roberto Luongo if they can't find a trade partner for him. I think they're trying to get rid of him any way they can at this point, unless Mike Gillis is going to continue to drag on this goalie situation, which is stupid. And there's a possibility they could end up buying out Keith Ballard. I think Tampa Bay, there's some report, not reports, but I think some people are thinking that there could be a surprise that Vinny LeCavalier could actually get bought out. He's got a lot of years left of the cap hit of $7 million in change. There's a possibility they could buy him out, and potentially I could see them buying out someone like Matthias Olund, who's got a bunch of years left on his deal and a lot of money, and I think they could end up moving him out and trying to go forward with a younger guy. And then maybe you could see someone like Toronto buy out John Michael Wiles as they just try and free up a little bit of cap space since the cap ceiling is dropping by, I believe, just under $6 million for next season. Now remember, any player that gets bought out with these compliance buyouts cannot be re-signed by their previous team for next season. So teams can't go out and buy out a player and then bring him back at a cheaper rate. So that'll be interesting to see. I think there's going to be a couple other guys that are going to pop out and end up actually being bought out that the Caps could look at if they decide not to bring back Mike Ribeiro. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past week.
Wow, there's a lot of stuff coming up. A lot of business. A lot of business is going to be happening this offseason.
That's what the summer is, man. It's all business.
It's all business in the NHL during the summer. Everyone else is on vacation. These guys are figuring out cap space, who to let go, who to bring in, so they can get everything ready in September. So we're going to stick around here for a few more weeks until the Stanley Cup playoffs are over. So make sure you stick with us as long as you can, as long as you want to talk hockey before it gets too hot. But follow along on Twitter. We'll let you know when the new show comes out, when we're going to keep doing the show, but not as frequently. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well, always tweeting about the Capitals or the Nationals or sometimes the Redskins or soccer of all things. So where can people follow you at?
I follow a lot of different sports teams. Thank you. No, you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, but you can also find me over at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan run website all about the Washington Capitals. I had an article come out, I believe, at the end of last week about the Caps Caps top six roles and who could be filling them next season, some of the problems they run into. That's CapsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. If you like What the Puck and you want to get more information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network, make sure you go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You get information about this show and other shows we're going to be starting up, renewing, coming back, all that good stuff. And, of course, you can like the show on Facebook at Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, two Ps. And over on Twitter, you can follow the show as well at WTP_Podcast. And you'll get all the information about What the Puck. Now, of course, this is a fan-run podcast. It's by the fans, for the fans, and we give you this show completely for free. So if you could please help us out as much as possible, all you have to do is tell somebody about the show and let them know that you're a fan of What the Puck. And the easiest way to do that, you know, tell a friend, text them, tell them in person, shake their hands and say, listen to What the Puck. Go on social media, go to Facebook, to Twitter, to Tumblr, to Pinterest, to Vine, to Tout, to every other social network that you're on that I don't know about because I'm old. You know, just do everything you can. Tell them that you listen to What the Puck and that they should too, and that you dig the show. I don't know how you're listening to us. There's so many different ways. Go over to iTunes, write us an iTunes review. That'll help us kind of climb the ladder in the iTunes world, and they'll kind of pay a little bit more attention to us. But if you're not on iTunes, you can get the podcast app for your iPhone, iPad Touch, or iPod Touch. So many different Apple products out there now. It's hard to keep score. iPad Mini.
Yeah, they need to slow down or speed up because everybody else is catching up.
Right, exactly. And if you're one of those people catching up, thanks for that little segue there, Dan. You can, if you're an Android, you have a Kindle or a smartphone, a Samsung Galaxy, anything like that, download the Stitcher app. It's on the Google Play Store, and you can listen to the show via Stitcher or iTunes or on whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com if you're at your desk. So any way to listen to us, we'll still be here a couple more weeks. Make sure you continue to tune in. Subscribe over on iTunes. That way, whenever a new show comes out, you will get it automatically. And thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
But I guess that's pretty much it for Caps News. Yeah, kind of sad it's that quick and it's gone. But there is still a little bit of hockey we can talk about, and that's up 83. And let's talk about some Reading Royals, most importantly.
You don't want to do any Caps players talk about potential moves or things for the offseason?
Yeah, I completely forgot that, didn't I?
I was like, this is going to be the shortest show we've ever done. But with the it looks like the compliance buyouts are not – you can't – let me try that sentence again.